This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
We have Super Bowl headlines here as, what are we now? We're about 11 days away from Super Bowl 54 down there in Miami. One insider's early thoughts on the matchup, what Kyle Shanahan has to say about the failure he had to endure and was part of the last time he was in a Super Bowl. General, at your service. See me, bear me. N.A. Heineken 0.0, please, and thank you. Jeff Cavanaugh, Mike Bassick, Lucius Alexander, along with you. We are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan.
Did you see the video going around of Kyle Shanahan this morning from the 49ers-Packers game?
Oh, yeah, where he's on the sideline telling the ref what's about to happen.
I feel like that's another one that if Mike sees it, he'll get really mad at Garrett all over again. Kyle Shanahan's standing there with the ref, and they're about to run a play, and he goes, 85's in the slot, 85's running a five-yard out. He's like, he's going to go in and out. Their DB's not going to let him go out. They snap the ball. George Kittle fakes inside and tries to go out. The DB's holding him, and the ref throws the flag right at him, and it's like, yep. So your head coach was standing there and knew exactly what was going to happen, put it in the ref's ear, and the ref went, there you go.
Flag. Andy Reid's a great coach, and I think because of that, maybe he's a Hall of Famer. People are thinking he's got a massive advantage in this game, but I think it's coaching-wise, it's pretty even. Steven, where are you at with your thoughts on the coaching matchup, Mike?
It did actually frustrate me, but
because I don't think Garrett's doing that.
I do think we hired a guy who can do that because we saw him do it to the Dallas Cowboys multiple times. So that's good news. Where am I at with it? I think both guys are really good coaches, and I do think it helps out Shanahan that he was an offensive coordinator in the Super Bowl a few years ago. And I'm not saying I'm giving him the advantage, but I'm saying if this was his first time ever to go to the Super Bowl, like last year, I mean, no, I don't think it was all his fault, but I mean, we saw Sean McVay. I mean, there was doo-doo coming out of his pants during that game last year.
Got owned. Yeah.
And so it can happen on the biggest stage at times. You can just, doesn't mean Sean McVay's a bad coach. It just means sometimes you have to go through that moment, realize, and Sean McVay admitted, like, hey, I did some things that I shouldn't have done. They weren't smart, and I'm going to learn from those. Now, Sean McVay's also man enough to admit that he made mistakes that possibly cost his team the game. We get to move on from it, thank God. But yeah. Jason Garrett would never admit he ever made any mistakes coaching football.
No, you know, try to do what was in the best interest of the team at the time and, you know, had to execute. Yeah, Kyle Shanahan preparing to be asked repeatedly here over the next 10 days about the last time he was there and losing with Atlanta after being up 28-3. He says the one thing, there is one call he felt like he screwed up. And he says he's aware of the narrative with the fans that all he had to do was run it, but he only passed it 8 times in the second half of that game. And still fans and the narrative is you screwed it up, you know, you're up 28-3, but he says there was one call that he screwed up. They were up 28-20. They get down to the New England 23-yard line back in Super Bowl 51 and they run it, lost a yard, so you're back at the 24. He says that's when he should have run it again, but he passed, didn't get the look they wanted. He didn't call a timeout. Ryan gets sacked. They're out of field goal range. Holding on third down, they end up back at the New England 45-yard line, had to punt.
That should have been 31-20 at least.
Yeah.
Should have been able to get your field goal.
With about 7 minutes to go. And things would have been altered significantly after that point. It did take some crazy things. And, you know, it's that whole timeout preservation. How many times does an offensive play caller or quarterback think, dude, we got a low probability. They called the perfect defense for this, and they still snap it thinking we got to save our timeouts.
You only get 3 of them.
I know.
So I get it. But to me, it's the other end of that is even more frustrating when you're about to punt and the play clock's running out. And the coach's like, oh, timeout. Like, oh, we can't. Or like it's a 3rd-and-11 play, and it's like, oh, the clock's running out. Timeout, timeout, timeout. We don't want 3rd-and-16. You probably weren't going to convert anyway, but they will burn a timeout. Like that's a situation where, screw that timeout. Use it. We got to get the right play.
Yeah, you know, being situationally aware like that, being prepared for all of those situations, being poised enough. I do think Kyle Shanahan is incredibly poised and incredibly in the moment and intelligent, insightful, tactful. You know, his game management, his just overall personality. His dad was super like stern and like, I'm going to coach my ass off right here. And I got to, you know, he kind of looked like a little rat there with his teeth sticking out. He's all intense, kind of like Kobe's intense face.
He kind of had his teeth sticking out, didn't he?
I mean, his son, though, he's got a trucker hat on. He's coaching in a trucker hat with kind of his long hair thing going yeah. on. He's kind of like a cleanly shaven Kavanaugh over there on the
nice,
sideline.
Nice.
Yeah. He was asked about the criticism and fans saying he screwed it all up and all you had to do was run. He says, there's definitely parts in that Super Bowl I would love to have back and stuff that I was very hard on myself about. But the whole narrative of if I just would have ran it, we would have won. I know that wasn't the case. I know what went into that game and all of the stuff that happened. I feel bad for him having to answer that question again and again and again, but it's probably not that different than having to answer other questions again and again and again for
yeah.
him. You know, you got to kind of get used to that.
If I were him, I may deflect a little bit. I'd be like, I gave our defense a 25-point lead. I don't know why y'all are talking to me. We're up by 25.
Yeah.
You don't let them score 100 points.
I'd throw Matt Ryan under the bus myself.
Okay. Well, like, Matt's yeah. a choke artist, you know. I got him a big lead.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have been surprised.
Jimmy's not as talented, but he's got balls, actually. You know,
that's so awesome.
Kind of stuff I'd say. Okay, elsewhere in your Super Bowl headlines here, one insider's early thoughts here inside Mike Sando's pick six. That's a good piece every week. That's in The Athletic.
The Sandwich Man.
First insider said the Chiefs because Mahomes is better than Jimmy. And now check this out. Now that the Mahomes is healthy, Andy Reid has him using his feet. He's actually the Chiefs' leading rusher in the playoffs. Pretty impressive right there.
Yeah, and I wonder how much of that is Andy because, like, let's take his touchdown run. That wasn't designed for Pat Mahomes to run. That was, they were terrified. They doubled Kelsey. They doubled Tyreek Hill. And he went, looky there.
Yeah.
So like, it's not like they've got him running a bunch of zone read where he's taking the ball. He's just using the opportunities he has to scramble. And it probably is health related that he feels great. And it's like, all right, sweet. If you give me an opportunity, I'm going.
That's just being more sports smart than everybody.
Yeah.
You know, we saw it early in the year. There was a play where he kind of checked his blind side to make sure the ref wasn't calling a flag for a hold.
Didn't want to waste his time
running.
It was
behind the line of scrimmage.
What if he saw a flag? Was he just going to slide?
I guess. Yeah, oh, you called that? Okay, I'm done. But there's a few players in the NFL that you can actually see them being relaxed in a way that an adult would be playing sports with kids. Because playing sports with kids, they could be hanging all over you, and you're like, okay, cool, I'm going to throw it here, or I'm going to reach over here and pull this little booger down, and then now I'm off and running. And Khalil Mack is one of the only other players that are so much better than the competition that they can have that aura around them. Story around the Packers didn't get here in Matt LaFleur's season, but got close. And what is the story here?
What is the story?
Matt LaFleur.
Oh, okay.
Story?
What they need to do to be great again next year. On offense, they need to upgrade everything except Devontae Adams and the running back Aaron Jones and the quarterback Aaron Rodgers. On offense, you know, you have your tackles, but they massively need an upgrade of weapons. And then on defense, they had the same problem the Cowboys did almost exactly. One insider saying because of how they attack, you can separate them and pull them apart. And it went right to Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith going up the field. They're like, dude, you just have to seal their tackles and it's over. And didn't that San Francisco game look so much like how the Cowboys were gashed?
It looked like the Rams-Cowboys game from a year ago somewhat. And it was awesome seeing people that – you know, do offensive line stuff. And they're like, watch this. Watch how they do this. And they allow Smith to go upfield. They're like, just push him. You don't even really have to block him. Just let him go up the field and push him. It was a draw on a shotgun play. And they're like, and now we're going to have this guy wrap around. He's just going to tap, and then he's going to wrap around, and he's going to take out the linebacker who should be filling this area. And as long as Smith goes up the field and doesn't care at all about a possible run, then this guy doesn't have to block him, and then he can go crack on the linebacker and open up a big hole. And it led to, I think it was 37-yard touchdown run. But it was just beautiful when you watch that you can use the aggressiveness against a team that doesn't care to try at all to care about the run. And, you know, we saw the Cowboys eliminated. We now saw somewhat the Packers eliminated by it. But yet, I somewhat will go towards Jeff on like, well, teams usually throw the ball 2 out of 3 times. So how much do we want our guys concentrating on the run when there's a 66% chance that they're going to pass the ball.
Yeah, it's the tough part, and it is. It was very reminiscent of the Cowboys, where a lot of the stuff that the 49ers did against the Packers, it's not like it was complicated. It was, we know that if we show them this, they'll do this, and they literally will not have a guy on the edge. There won't be a guy there. So we can just run outside for as far as we want until a secondary guy shows up. And then when that's not working, they had their trap game. And they just, I think, going back to what you were talking about the coaching matchup, I think it might be the two best offensive coaches in football in this game with Andy Reid and what they can do with the running backs and the screen game. And when you look at the routes they run, a lot of their routes aren't in anyone's playbook. I think like their routes, it almost looks like they're drawn up with like a phone keypad, where like, you know, one is way up here and three's way up here over on that side. And it's like, just end up there. And it looks like they legitimately are just like, end up there and it'll be fine. Because if you look at their routes on like the Next Gen Stats website, it's not like they're running a post corner. Huh. It's a, I don't care what you do.
Get over there.
Just get over there and we'll throw it there. It's some insane stuff to take advantage of who you have. You have speed and you have a guy with a giant arm. It's like, yeah, that's where you're going to go, and you'll go over there.
Requires some talent out of the quarterback in anticipation to know what those guys are going to be doing. Yeah, it's pretty. So what do you think? Is this Marinelli approach of getting upfield, isn't there a better way to put a strong emphasis on rushing the passer without having to give up the run as much as the Cowboys and now Packers have done?
You play the run on the way to the quarterback.
Our best guy does it. DeMarcus Lawrence is able to do it. Yeah. I think the best guys are able to do it.
You think it's a talent thing?
I think it's a talent thing, one, but it's also a coaching thing. Like, hey, you can't just totally disregard, because I do think some guys, talent-wise, say, I'm not good enough to do both. I have to either go all out to get the quarterback and just disregard there's a possibility of them handing off if I'm going to be successful at getting my 10 sacks. Because if I get 10 sacks, I get $20 million. If I get 5 sacks because I was disciplined – and there were times where I stayed disciplined just to make sure, and I didn't get to the quarterback, I just cost myself $12 million. That's tough. This is now comes into the real life stuff of winning over family. And this is where it takes great coaches to be able to get your guys to say, I know if you get 10 sacks, you get $20 million. And if you get 6 sacks, you get $7 million. But somehow you got to convince that guy that 7 sacks is going to get rewarded.
Yeah.
And 10 sacks is going to be the same for us.
Yeah, it's tough to convince people of that. That's for sure. I wouldn't buy it.
Right. And it goes into all sports, right? It goes into like DeLon Wright being upset. Like, how am I ever going to get another contract if I play 12 minutes a night? How am I ever going to really get paid in Major League Baseball unless I swing for home runs all the time?
Yes. Okay, elsewhere here, Drew Brees entering age 41 season at the Senior Bowl. GM Mickey Loomis said, nothing's changed as far as last year, and he anticipates that Brees is going to continue playing with them. So if there was any question around that, it's probably answered for now, unless Brees sits out a little while longer and decides he likes that life and is ready to shut it down.
Man, if he shuts it down, I don't – is Teddy a free agent?
Yeah, he is. I was going to ask, that's my question, is what does he want to do now?
Michael Thomas would be so mad. He's breaking every record for this point in a career. And then they're like, all right, your new quarterback is Taysom Hill.
Ooh.
we're running the wing tee.
I'm looking for a trade agent. Pick up the phone. Speaking of picking up the phone, Bob Arum, fight promoter, has picked up the phone. And he's proposing a 2-fight deal between Terrence Bud Crawford and Conor McGregor. This is the first boxer in his prime, male boxer in his prime, to say he's open to an MMA fight.
Oh,
yes.
It would be an MMA fight.
Oh, it'd be back. Yeah. They'd do a boxing, and they would do an MMA.
Home and home arrangement.
Okay, well,
like,
guys.
I'll do your sport if you do my sport.
I hate to spoil this for you guys. They're going 1-1.
Yeah, it should be like who can last the longest or who can get the closest to winning.
Yeah.
I don't know. You probably have a good chance of surviving in boxing.
You're probably
going
to have a 12-round boxing fight and a 1-round MMA fight.
Yeah. Bud says, I'm a fighter first, though. And he says he's up for it. He just needs some time to, train on the MMA side.
Just
and
need 6 weeks of jiu-jitsu, and I'm ready.
Yeah, try to keep the fight on your feet and avoid his kicks. You might have a chance of getting to round two, maybe. I don't know. Okay, coming up next, G-Bag Nation. We're going to catch up with Mike Fisher. He's at Fish Sports on Twitter. Has the very latest on what you have to know about the Cowboys and the Mavericks. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We're going to talk with Mike Fisher here, get the very latest on the Mavs and Cowboys. Tonight you have a chance to meet Rangers players Isaiah Kiner-Falefa and Nick Solak, plus Eric Nadell. A free Q&A hosted by Eric and Jared Sandler, 6 o'clock tonight right here at the Fan, 4131 North Central Expressway. Just come by. It's free. Okay, it's time for AdFish Sports on Twitter. Segment's brought to you by the Texas Can Academies. It's brought to you by Mark Rubin. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do what more Fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. He'll stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. Our guy Mark Rubin, 800-LAWYERS, official lawyers of the Tolo, Rubin and Associates. Okay, here he is, AdFish Sports on Twitter. Good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
Can I brag about 105.3 The Fan for a second?
Duh.
If you must.
Not about me, about us.
Brag about me.
Okay.
This goes for Cowboy training camp. This goes for Ranger spring training. This goes for hockey games with Spittle. This goes for all over the Star and whatnot, of course. But last night, you know, Brian Broaddus, who's rolling up his sleeves and pitching in here at 105.3 The Fan, right?
Yeah.
And has a very busy schedule with his work with Kavanaugh on the Cowboys and the NFL draft.
KC seems like they wrangle him for an hour every night.
Yeah, something like that. So Broaddus came with me to the Mavericks game last night.
Wow.
And I mean, he's not down there sitting in the Sean Sharif seats. He's rolling up his sleeve and he's got a notepad and he's taking notes and he's asking questions and it's just it's very typical Broaddus, but it's also very typical 105.3 The Fan. I'm not going to say any names here, but some of the guys on some of the other radio stations, you know, they haven't been to a Cowboy game in 20 years, but they're experts on the Cowboys. And I really like the fact that, you know, Jeff Kavanaugh is watching film and Broaddus is going to basketball games and Spittle's going to hockey games. And that's the way we Tolo. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I appreciate it, Fish. That's a good recognition of some of the hard workers that we have around this place. They allow us to, you know, just kind of kick our feet up and mail it in.
Shots fired at Dawson, yeah.
That's right. Awesome. Oh, believe me, my real trick with having Broaddus go to the Mavericks game is so he can just cover for me. I can just stay home and kick up with Gavin Dawson.
There we go. Okay.
But, the Delonte West story with Rick Carlisle's involvement, that happens. And the Fan is sitting there. And I think there was probably four of us there. And then, of course, Kristaps Porzingis makes his re-debut. And there we are. And then the horrible deal on the Achilles, which now we know that is a ruptured Achilles for Dwight Powell. And this couldn't happen to a nicer guy or a harder worker and a good player too in Dwight Powell. The word that guys have used for him for years and years around here, coaches and stuff, is he's conscientious. He takes this job very seriously to the point where, like, he used to worry when he would miss a shot. He said, I let all the fellas down. His conscientiousness now is going to really help him as he rebuilds. That is usually a 10-month process for the normal guy, a normal athlete, and I wouldn't be surprised if Dwight Powell beats that. But a tough loss for the Mavericks, who now, Gavin, you were looking at trades before. Because I'm thinking, hey, listen, you're fifth or sixth best in the West. You can be a player away from really doing some damage, and so take that shot. But now you don't have Dwight Powell. Well, now I almost have to take that shot. I've got to find a way to get better.
As long as you're not sacrificing long-term flexibility, I think you're right. It might make you a little bit more urgent or a little bit more willing to take back sort of a marginal player, though.
Yeah, I need to be a buyer. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Now, you want to get specific to, you know, how much is it going to strap me in the future? I would only suggest this and remind us that while the Mavericks were so cap conscious, you know, cap space, they were always the league leader in cap space. Then every year there's some guy that they wanted and he goes to some team that doesn't even have cap space because Jimmy Butler just did it. Not that the Mavericks wanted Jimmy Butler, but Jimmy Butler went to, you know, they didn't have cap space and away he went. Dwight Howard, I think, started that process a long time ago where he ended up, he was a free agent who got traded. He didn't need cap space. So I don't want to obsess over that, over saying, you know, go get me Bogdanović and have Dedmon be the baggage from the Kings. I will have just bet on a pair of Kings. Bogdanovich, of course, is one of Luka's best friends. I think it's always a good idea for the next 10 years here to make a Luka-friendly deal. I think that's going to be a good idea. And then if you add a serviceable center, you know, Dedmon's not some star player, but, you know, he's a 7-foot center who can score. That's serviceable to me. I think that kind of thing, and see if I can end up giving maybe a DeLon Wright and that Warriors top of the second round pick. Something like that is what I'm fishing around for.
You think a DeLon Wright trade's pretty likely at this point?
Well, he seems like he's fallen a little bit out of favor. I think he's grousing a little bit. And then I haven't written a story on this. I haven't dug into it. But his brother, Dorrell Wright, right? Correct?
Yeah, former forward.
11 years in the league. He put up some tweets last night basically saying, why the hell aren't they playing my brother? And then shortly thereafter, those tweets were deleted. And so that would suggest some subtle disgruntlement in the Wright family. And, of course, when the Mavericks are going right culturally, you don't see that kind of stuff. So you know, having family members, you know, tweeting out there, come on, Mavericks, you suck, you're dumb, why aren't you playing my brother? That doesn't really play well here. So I do think that's a situation to keep an eye on, yes.
Okay, interesting indeed, as they get a night off tonight and then we'll take on the Blazers tomorrow night. No word on how Porzingis woke up with his knee and all that? Are we all clear? Are we going to move forward without any residual?
He certainly, after the game, he really focused on, obviously, the loss of Dwight Powell and then took all the blame. He said, if I would have played better, we would have won. And his shooting, of course, was horrendous. You know, his numbers end up, I think he ended up with 10 points and 9 rebounds, but he needed a million shots to get to his 10 points. I think he was 1 of 8 from the arc. And so we will monitor that. But he didn't seem to talk like, you know, okay, I got to go live in an ice bucket now. And so hopefully that was just a poor shooting game for Porzingis because he was rusty, not because he's still sore.
Anything else on the Mavs before we move on?
Let's move on to your Dallas Cowboys.
Okay. What's this note about Byron and the Eagles I need to know about?
Ah!
So, yeah, this is I can't remember if this is Jeff Kavanaugh's old friend or one of your old characters back when you used to do characters. Remember Tony? What was Tony's name?
We had a pocket change, Paulie.
Yeah, Paulie. So Pocket Change Paulie, I think, has come up with this, that the Eagles are going after Byron Jones. And then if you read the story, it's actually from Tony Pauline. That's the real guy's name, right?
Hey, yeah. Tony, it's me, Pauline.
That's it. That's the same guy.
Yeah.
If you read his report, it's not really he just kind of says word is and suggestions are and the wind is blowing. And yet they do have $40 million worth of cap space in Philly.
And their corners are hot boo-boo.
They have bad corners, and both of them are free agents. And we already know, we've talked a lot about it for the last year here, how if you look at the Cowboys cap situation and you talk to the people involved, that the idea of Byron as a $15 million cornerback, which is the going rate, as solid as he is, that's just not going to fly here. They're not going to do that here.
Especially with the new coaches emphasizing turnovers even more.
See, there you go. That yes, I've got traits. And listen, Byron is a high character, very smart, highly athletic. I mean, a lot of good stuff, long and all that stuff. But ball hawk he is not. And then I see Will McClay, who's down at the Senior Bowl and speaking to the DFW media, and he was asked about Byron Jones. He said, yeah, really good player. This is going to be tough.
Ooh.
Really good player is not exactly the assessment that the player would want to hear or the agent would want to hear from the third most powerful person in the building when you're trying to pitch him as a really great player. And so really good player from Will McClay would seem to be a hint that the Cowboys aren't going there.
And also a hint that if you're letting Byron go, you got to be thinking corner at the very latest in the second round, right? First round's fixed pretty good for him. I'd say 17 corner, if that's the case, that would jump to my leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah, and I know Jeffrey and Broadus and the great Dane Brugler are all over that for us. Yeah, I see a lot of projections of safety to Dallas. What do you think about Delpit of LSU at 17, Jeffrey.
I like it. Delpit is, he'll be one of the, probably the top three names for me at number 17, and that's who everybody's mocking to him because he'll be the first safety off the board, and they could use a safety, so it just seems to fit.
But yeah, secondary help. But, you know, then you look at the guys on the defensive line that are able to go free, and you realize you need help there, too. Cowboys have as many as 25 free agents, so you've got to fit the $80 million. Hey, $80 million sounds like a lot. But once I pay the quarterback and the wide receiver, I got to find a way to pay the other 23 guys too.
Okay, what else going on with these Cowboys, Fish?
Also regarding your Cowboys is the Zeke talking at the Pro Bowl about the brief meeting he had with Coach McCarthy, and he really made it clear. I mean, I can envision this because I don't think McCarthy wants to sit down and jaw with the running back for 3 hours and shoot the bull. And I don't think Zeke does either. He can be a man of few words. I can really envision them, that meeting kind of happened the way Zeke explains it, which is, you know, really wasn't much to say. You know, you want to run the football? Yeah, I won the football. Okay, let's run the football. And they're not going to change the zone blocking scheme, at least not much. The emphasis on we got to have a quarterback first, that it's all about the quarterback, I don't think that takes away from we also got to have a running back. I think they go hand in hand. So I think there is a meeting of the minds between Zeke and Mac, and then we'll get to tomorrow a meeting of the minds between Dak and Mac.
Well, hopefully there's, you know, more substance. That's what this is a sign of, right? I feel like JG's would be like, hey, how you doing? Let me get my hands around you here, partner. You doing okay? You know, we're going to get together. This is going to be great. We're going to stack good days on good days, you know, where McCarthy's just like, let's coach.
Yeah, and as you know, I'm a JGZ guy going way back. But what Dez told me the other night, and this wasn't about, I didn't take this about racism, and he wasn't ripping him or anything like that, but he was saying it was just, he thinks that Jason, he said, I like Jason. I just don't think he connected with guys. Whatever level that means, whatever that is. I'll tell you a quick story, and then we'll save a bunch of these other fine items for tomorrow. So we're walking through the Star. You know, this is late in the year, and it's me and Garrett are walking down the hallway, and then in front of us, there's four players, four big, badass players. And you'll get this reference, Gavin, but not everybody else will. He says, yeah, there's the Reservoir Dogs right there. You get it?
The old Quentin Tarantino movie?
Right. Those four guys are like 24 years old, Jason. They have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And it wasn't forced. It wasn't strained. It wasn't fake. It was real. Garrett is he's a movie buff. Mm. And so he saw four badass guys walking down the street together, just like in Tarantino's movie, Reservoir Dogs. And that clicked with him. But did it click with the 24-year-olds? Jeffrey, Reservoir Dogs, you with us?
I know that those two words go together.
Never saw it in my life either.
And that there is a movie with that name.
Wouldn't a movie buff also watch movies that are currently happening?
Well, that's my Fast and Furious crew, Paul Walker.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, Fish.
That's a good point. But yet I don't want to be fake.
Fish.
So it's a tough deal. Yeah.
Jeffrey and I are close to the same age. I know all about Mr. Pink, Mr. Orange, and Mr. White here.
That means that there's culture. Something different about the two of you besides your age. There's something else about you, Lucius, that makes you a very, very special man
talk
indeed.
Talk to him.
Let him know.
Talk to them, Fish.
I don't know what it is.
Why are you doing too much now?
Look at him buttering you up.
Yeah. I just think robots don't connect with people in general. A-Rod was a robot. Yeah. Kobe was a robot. Tiger Woods was a robot. And they didn't connect. And thankfully, Jason's out before he could turn Dak, who's an effervescent personality, into a robot himself, because you know he was well on his way to doing that, Mike.
It's fun to watch Mike McCarthy walk down the hall and not make a movie reference, because he doesn't give two squats about it.
Yeah.
And again, not because he's fake, but I do have a feeling Mike McCarthy's just going to grunt hello to the players.
Yeah.
And not try to relate, and not try to be clever, and not try to be anything. Let's just grunt and go to work. At least I hope so.
That smile. We're going to be positive. Oh, this is great, isn't it? Boy, howdy. Wake up and enjoy another day. Live in the moment. All that, yeah. You know, I just think that when you're talking with guys who want to go out and kick butt and take names, it seems corny. And I'm like, what are you even doing, dude? Is that some sort of an impression of a leader, or are you a human there? What's going on?
And Gavin, I've said this to you many times. It's It is corny, but it's sincere. So I think guys, a lot of guys did buy into it. But I must tell you, I've never said this before, but you know how Jason begins the press conference every day by saying, how we doing, guys? Right? Yeah. The media, and he really wanted us to respond. And early on, you know, like 8 years ago, he would like look at me when I didn't respond. And I pulled him aside a little later and said, I'm not going to applaud. I can't applaud. I'm just taking notes. When you say, Jason, when you say, how we doing, guys, I write it down. I don't respond to it. I'm taking notes. We're not really having lemonades. This is an interview.
We got to run, Fish. Have a good one. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Guys. Later. He's at Fish Sports on Twitter, the great Mike Fisher. Baseball nuggets coming up next. Where are we going?
All right. Well, the Mets go in a direction that I didn't see. And, hey, I guess I'm going to sell it again. Maybe there is a chance we get Nolan Arenado.
Yeah.
The Rangers are the front runner. All boom, right. Boom, boom.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. How much did the Tyrone Crawford injury hurt the Cowboys season? It's something we didn't talk about much, but in retrospect, does it deserve a second going over? We'll talk about that coming up at 4. Here's Mike Bassick with your baseball nuggets.
All right, so I'm on baseballperspectives.com right now trying to figure out how true this is. The St. Louis Cardinals let Pablo Ozuna go yesterday. He signs a one-year $18 million contract with the Atlanta Braves. Now, I wasn't that disappointed as a Rangers fan. I don't think Ozuna really fits here that well, but I could see a one-year $18 million contract and being like, hey, man, it's 1 year. He might end up having a great year. Look at Hunter Pence. I know Hunter Pence was just brought in as like, yeah, he went to Venezuela, worked his butt off. He says he wants to play. Let's give him a chance, and he made the All-Star team. But I understand why the Rangers weren't interested. But what we have coming out of St. Louis is very interesting if you think the Rangers have a chance at Nolan Arenado, if that's still alive after Arenado, if you didn't hear, made comments saying, I've been disrespected. I really, you know, he pretty much said, I don't want to be part of the Rockies organization anymore. Well, one of the front runners or one of the teams supposedly really interested in bringing in Nolan Arenado is the St. Louis Cardinals. Well, their chairman, Bill DeWitt Jr., has come out and said, look, financially, we just couldn't do $18 million on Ozuna. And he can't specifically say Nolan Arenado because he's not part of the organization or a free agent. But the Cardinals kind of came out yesterday and said, we can't get Nolan Arenado. We don't have the financially, we can't do it. Now,
love it.
Interesting here is when I look at baseballperspectives.com and I look at their 2019 salary at $162.6 million and 2020 as of this website today, it says $157.6 million. And these can be off. Sometimes when I quote these numbers, I'll get a text from Jared Sandler or somebody else who knows salaries better than a website
you get pumped.
And say, hey, they're actually at $182 million because this isn't reported or this and that. So I can only go off of what the internet is giving me on their salary. But for a team that has such great ticket sales, such great support, they're the number one product in their city because there's no NFL team. And I know the Blues are right there with them, so it might be 1-1A. But 162 to 157 million doesn't seem like, oh no, if we add a 30-something million dollar player, we're not going to be able to afford payroll or have people sell
that is weird.
Peanuts and popcorn at our stadium because we're out of money because they'd still be under the luxury tax by a good $10 million if they traded for Nolan Arenado. But here's the great news, Ranger fans. It sounds like the chairman of the Cardinals is saying, if Nolan Arenado is available, we can't do it unless there's the Rockies kicking in a lot of financial support, which I think gives the Rangers a little bit more of a chance
don't
to get Nolan Arenado.
Don't do this to us. Don't do this to us.
So how much do the Braves want Arenado? Because to me, that's the bigger concern, right, if they want to go all in on him?
It's a great question. They just signed Ozuna, and I'm wondering if they've given up. I'm wondering if the report from Colorado is, look, it's over. It's done. We're not trading him. If the Braves took it to heart, and they're just like, look, we tried. They're not going to give him up. We can go sign a guy on a one-year contract who's a good right-handed bat in our lineup, and we can put him in left field. Let's do it. Now, that being said, I got to look at Austin Riley and look up his numbers. Jeff, if you want to do that real quick, he is a great prospect who had a really nice rookie year in the major leagues for the Braves. He wasn't rookie of the year candidate, but had a really nice year at a young age, and he's considered a premium hitting prospect. And he used to play third base, but they had Josh Donaldson last year. I think with signing Osuna, they're moving Riley to third base, but I'm not 100% sure about that.
He had the power. He had 18 home runs in 80 games, but also batted .226, on base .279. So
okay,
it's a nice little start.
So start to a career, but don't. Okay, so to your point, maybe they could be like, look, we'll just send Austin Riley back to AAA for the season if we go get Nolan Arenado. So you bring up a great point. The Braves, they were close. Last year had a great year, made the playoffs, obviously had that horrible game 5 against the Cardinals where they gave up, 72 runs in the first inning?
Yeah.
I can't remember. We were up here, but I was just like, oh my gosh, I think it might have been 11 in the first inning. But the Braves are probably still talking to the Rockies or possibly talking to the Rockies if they're having conversations. But I think we can knock out the St. Louis Cardinals as competing in the Nolan Arenado sweepstakes if there still is one.
And so the Rangers are
the favorites.
The favorites.
Front runner.
We just don't know. We need Nolan Arenado to push even harder on the Rockies. Like he did it for one day. And I know he's not trying to find the media every day, but he does have an agent. And the agent needs to keep pushing. If they want out of Colorado, and then I guess, you know, they might look at it and go, man, hey, if we want out of Colorado bad, we're kind of finding out St. Louis financially might not be where we can go, and St. Louis is a great place to be a baseball star because the Cardinals are treated like the Cowboys in St. Louis, how the Cowboys are treated here. So it would be the Braves, and if they find out the Braves have kind of maybe moved forward in a different direction, the agent might say, hey, if I push hard, I might push you to the Texas Rangers. Are you okay going with the Rangers? Because they were 78-84 last year. I know that's better than 71-91, but if I push you out of there, I can, but I'm just telling you there's a strong chance that it's the Texas Rangers that you're going to. Are you okay with that?
Well, I do believe we're going to have a chance to ask Eric Nadel about these kind of topics coming up in the 5 o'clock hour because he's coming in for that big deal we got going on downstairs at 6 with Kiner Falefa.
Yeah, and Nick Solak. Next thing, robot umpires, that'll be happening in spring training. So when we go to training here in a little over a month, there might not be an umpire. Well, there'll be an umpire behind home plate if you've watched Arizona Fall League. He just has to wait for the computer to tell him if it was a strike or ball, and then he makes the call like, hey, that was a strike. I'm sorry. It just rang in my ear a second ago that was a strike, and you are now out. So we'll get to see in spring training with some major league players playing the robot umpire. And I'm going to tell you, I think a lot of my former teammates are against it. I'm for it. If we can find a universal strike zone, and this is the key, that every stadium, the cameras are set up perfectly, that the strike zone is always the same strike zone. So it doesn't matter who's up to bat. You're not going to get the superstar call because you're a superstar. You're not going to, on the mound, get 3 inches off the corner just because, well, look, that's an established, awesome pitcher. I give him more than I give the guy who just came up. It's like, nope, the strike zone's the same for every human being that's up to bat and for every human being on the mound.
Is what
it
is.
I think that's the best technology that we could ever have in sports.
The better technology gets, the more frustrated we're getting with officials, right? Because we know there's a better way to get this exact. And I think this is progress. Right. This is now we're heading in the right direction instead of trying to depend on refining old technologies. We're going to go into new stuff.
To me, there's no judgment in the strike zone if you set up the cameras right and, you know, the laser technology right. There's judgment on pass interference. There's judgment on a lot of things in the NFL that we try to do replay on. There's judgment on, did that knee barely hit the ground while he still had control of the ball, or was it just barely off? Like, and we can look at it for a while and just go,
sorry, I can't focus. Javon Kinlaw is practicing at the Senior Bowl, and he's my dream pick at 17, and he is destroying everyone. Javon Kinlaw, South Carolina, D tackle. You want him at 17. Pray he makes it.
Is he blessed?
Probably. Hard to say for sure. Haven't seen him in that regard, but I bet he is.
You ain't watched enough film yet, have you?
No, not quite, no.
We only know about one guy how blessed he is at the combine when his pants fell down.
Chris Jones, Chiefs. Turns out that being blessed does translate to the field.
Okay. Elvis Andrus, I thought this was really cool. This isn't like major news, but Thomas Jefferson High School got hit hard by the tornado in their facilities. and Elvis Andrus, and I believe he partnered up with Rawlings, but he went out of his way and he gave the baseball and softball programs of Thomas Jefferson pretty much all new equipment, all new catching equipment. And it might have been also the help of the Texas Rangers, but I know Elvis Andrus was the leader of it. But I just thought that was a really cool story that our Texas Rangers saw a team in need out there high school-wise and provided gloves and bats and equipment and everything that they could do to help out Thomas Jefferson and their baseball and softball program.
Love it. Salute then, to you, Elvis. You're the man.
Last thing is we have a new manager in Major League Baseball, and I forgot to write down his name. I believe it's Luis Ortiz, but I have to go to MLB.com real quick. And he's only played in 37 games in his career, and that was rookie ball.
Who's he the manager of now?
He is the manager of the New York Mets. It's Rojas, by the way. It is Luis Rojas is the manager, and I saw that and immediately go, well, he went from Carlos Beltran, who played about 20 years in the major leagues, to Luis Rojas, who played 37 games in rookie ball. That's a big
heck.
Well,
yeah.
They could be pretty sure he never cheated at the big league level that way.
100%. Except I did find out this because I was like, man, I can't believe that they're hiring a guy who literally pretty much didn't play professional baseball, except his father is Felipe Alou and his half brothers are Moises Alou. And so, He did grow up around the game pretty much. He didn't really play professional baseball, played it in rookie ball for 37 games. But they did go in a totally opposite direction if you look at going from a guy with Hall of Fame credentials playing-wise in Carlos Beltran to a guy who played 37 games of rookie ball. And I'm just wondering, are we going to get to a point here in the next 5 years where a team hires a guy to be a manager who did not play at all, no minor league baseball at all? They're just like, look, he's the right front office guy to be in the dugout.
The nerd takeover continues, Mike. I would almost guarantee that. Just a matter of time. Just got to get the players a little bit more used to it, and then bam. It's winning time, though. Text the word BEAT. That's B-E-A-T, BEAT, to 72881. That's your chance to win $1,000 in this national Turn It On, Leave It On contest. We have another shot at that coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. And then tomorrow morning with Sean and RJ starting at 6 o'clock. Should the Cowboys bring him back or take the cap savings on the 30-year-old? We'll talk about that and more next in the G-Bag Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.